Hello, welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Rush, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Ryan Black, and we are back, and we are playing with power. Folks, we are here for you. We are devoted. It's 5:31 in the morning. Everyone is asleep, and Ryan and I are together to record a podcast for you this week. And it's on a Sunday, which is not traditionally when we get up, but we are here to try to get one in for you again. We're still, Ryan's got some family stuff that he's still, you know, taking care of. Forgive me for my yawn. You know, trying to get one in for you this week. And it won't be a terribly long episode, but it is a topic that we are a bit nostalgic for and we wanted to talk about. But before we dive into that, Ryan, would you care to share anything that you are radical rexing about?
I am radical rexing a lot. I'm really excited about just, oddly enough, Fortnite. I know I've been on a Fortnite kick lately, but yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
I see you log into that from time to time.
Yeah, I'm like a level 120, and I found this really, really fun game mode that a creator made that was, it was called like Valhalla Boss Fight or something like that. And it's just super fun to just like, you know, go through and find all the secrets and get stronger. And, you know, now I'm easily able to take on the legend serpent, and I'm still trying to beat mythic serpent, and I'm getting really close. And I found all the little secrets here and there, and I had to watch a YouTube video to find some of the stuff, but yeah, it was it's been a real joy to grind and get like find one of the best weapons, and that's been really cool. That's pretty much taken up most of my time, and then like when I'm not playing Fortnite, I'm playing Disney Dreamlight Valley. So it's been great.
Wow. Okay. Anything else outside of games or?
I'm glad that
surgery went well, right?
Yeah, surgery did go well. Good. Just recovering from here.
Well, we all know that. I know that's what's been keeping you busy, and been checking in with you on that. So I'm still glad you're able to game through it all too, and that, like, everything went well, so you are able to game and relax with that. So that's great. Myself, I have been I've been playing a couple of the games that you brought me. I've dipped into put new Pokemon Snap again. I started a separate file for that, for today's topic, and I just started dipping my toes back into Paper Mario Origami King, which it's funny, just picks me up right where I left off. And I was pretty far into the game, actually. I think I'm like the second to last world at the moment. Did you beat Origami King?
No, I did not.
Okay. The dialogue in that game is just so funny. I mean, all the paper, that's what Paper Mario has always kind of been known for, is just the humor they have. It's hilarious, man. I love the humor in this game. I remember Color Splash being freaking funny too. The battle systems are a bit wanky. I'm not really a huge fan of this one. When I got into a battle for the first time, I was like, oh, whoa, I completely forgot about how this even works. Do you remember it? It's like a circle ring, and you move the platforms diagonally or in circles. I'm like, this is terrible. And I got thrown into this Shy Guy mini game to progress yesterday. And it was like a game show, which was silly, but it's like trivia. Part of it's trivia and some about asking like things that have happened recently in the game that I should know. I'm like, dude, I took like a 3-year hiatus on this game. So I had to YouTube my way through that part, which I'm not ashamed for. So I've been enjoying those. And then my son, son wanted to buy Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 HD.
I saw you playing that.
Yeah, I know he's got some money saved up, or he did. And I was like, well, buddy, if you got the money for it, you can buy it. So he gave me his $40 and we downloaded it. And I mean, he's just addicted to it. He is loving it. He thinks it's really cool how it's like real people music from, you know, like somebody playing in the car, and he's playing that, and he thinks the tricks are fun and collecting everything. And he, in this game, you can like add, you can like earn money every time you skate to buy in-game stuff. Like logos or new boards or wheels and whatnot, and shirts and pants. It's kind of like Splatoon, whatever. But he is just thinks it's awesome every time he earns money in the game to buy like a new board or something. And then when he's done playing, he's like, I logged you into your file, Dad. You can go play now, you know? And he's just, it is fun. It's a perfect game to like, I haven't found myself being addicted to where I'm like, oh, I just want to keep skating. But I do find it, like, I enjoy it in like a 20-30 minute burst. Like, oh man, that was okay. I collected some stuff. I got to some sweet tricks, and you can like improve your character stats too, which is like really cool. So like I made Tony Hawk even a bit better. I just been using Tony Hawk, and it's a fun game. I'm actually kind of sad that I never bought it sooner, because I do have a nostalgia for, especially for the first one. The second one, you could put in like a code to become like Wolverine or Spider-Man, couldn't you? You remember that on the PlayStation?
Yeah, I can't remember which one.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Pro Skater 2 had Spider-Man, but I don't know if they got the license for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to tell my son about it because that's his favorite story. He'd freak out, man, if he could skateboard mm-hmm. a Spider-Man, but I didn't say anything because I don't know if that's in this version or not. I'll have to look into it. My gut says it's not. My heart is hoping it is, but we'll see. Yeah, that's really all I've been like playing and stuff, and just besides taking care of baby and exercising and whatnot. So, but that's enough radical rexing from me. We do have a topic for you today, and that topic is revisiting a game that we actually have covered before. But Ryan and I, you know, an approach that we've decided to take, especially since we've been back, is, you know, the show is about nostalgia, and like, you know, like if we're really nostalgic for a certain game, right, you know, like right now, you know, like Tony Hawk's honestly becoming on my radar, whereas, you know, like 3 weeks ago it wasn't. So we're probably going to do a Tony Hawk episode soon. You know, sneak peek there. But I recently played Pokemon Snap, and I just got this itch to play it. And then I wanted to dive into Pokemon Snap 2. And I felt like it would be fun to revisit this game. We've been in a podcast a long time now. We're like, you know, what? I think that episode was like maybe 3 years ago. No, 5 years ago, maybe. It was a long time. So we felt comfortable to revisit it. You can always go look for that episode and compare it to this, but today we are going to talk about Pokemon Snap. So, Pokemon Snap, Ryan, my goodness, this game, it's a fun one, isn't it? It was unique. It came out of nowhere, to be honest. It came out in 1999 by HAL Laboratories, our makers of Smash Brothers. So it wasn't like directly made by the Pokemon company. It was made by HAL Laboratories, developed by HAL Laboratories, and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo 64. And then it came out, when did it come out in America? Came out in America July 26, 1999. So weird back then, because like games did not, today everything comes out worldwide at the same time for the most part. Back then, Pokemon Snap came out in Japan by March 21st, 1999, and then they released it in July 26th of 1999 in America. Australia, March 23rd of 2000, like over a year later, and same September 15th, 2000. It's like they had this trickle effect to see how well the game was doing and when they were going to get it. I mean, I'm sure it took like maybe delays in localizations and stuff like that. Really wasn't like it is today. You know, today things are easily designed worldwide for multiple cultures, areas out there. And the game, let's face it, today's game, you can't really like if they, for example, if Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, they put it out in Japan in May of last year, and then in June, it wouldn't work. Why? Because we were in the age of the internet. The internet was not even, it was an infant here, you know, in 1999. People were not using it at all. Like the way we're using it right now, we're doing it way more advanced than anyone did back in 1999. And let's be honest, if games release different times, the whole game would be spoiled within the day or week that it came out. So you kind of can't do it like that anymore. That is interesting. But the game was originally announced for the Nintendo 64 DD. It became a hit. I mean, it really was. It had great reception. The game, let's say IGN back in the day, 7.8 out of 10. Nintendo Power, 8.7 out of 10. GameSpot, 8 out of 10. Had high ratings. Overall, the game was, I think, got a 77 out of 100 on Metacritic. But the game, I personally thought was just so unique at the time, right? My nostalgia for it is I remember Brad Hunsinger getting it. A lot of my 64 memories, the majority of them are tied to Brad Hunsinger. I've said that on the show before. And I just remember it was like summer break, which makes sense because I said this game came out in July of 1999. So we're still on summer break here. Invites me over. Hey, I got this new Pokemon game. You want to come check it out? I'm like, sure. Come, Mom, can I spend the night? You know, and then I go spend the night at Brad's house. And this is, lo and behold, this is what we're playing. And it was really cool. I mean, again, we were seeing, this is different from like Pokemon Stadium. It was really not violent. You're not fighting each other. You're not doing mini games. You're kind of just like observing Pokemon in their natural environment. And you have to learn how to interact with them in certain ways to make them, I don't know, respond. And I always thought it was fun. Your movement and your timing is very scarce because you're on a constant move. You have to be very fast about what you're going to do. You have to know what you're going to do and how to do it. And then you make a Pokemon do something, and you can't do it obviously all right away. You like start very basic, take some simple photos, and then you get some elements that you unlock throughout the game, like the apple, the pester ball, you get the Poke Flute. You get things that allow you to speed up and I think maybe even slow down a little bit. But, Satoru Iwata was a producer on this game. Isn't that crazy? That's pretty wild. Who would have thought he'd be president back then? One of the greatest leaders of Nintendo. And Shigeru Miyamoto and Kenji Miki were producers for this game. Pretty wild. Yeah, I mean, we'll dive into the game and the levels, but Ryan, what are your initial thoughts about, what do you remember about Pokemon Snap, and did you get it initially, or was it something you came around to later? What did you think about this game?
This is one of the games that I played, and over at my best friend's house growing up, he had a 64, and so he would play his game and I would watch, and occasionally I'd get to play, you know, him. But it was just so cool to see all the different interactions and discovering what secrets and things could happen. I think the most notable one for me was like the Voltorb or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and like completely blown up an entire wall. And just knowing that like there's so much you could discover just by doing this little thing here, or, you know, but then also like it was rewarding in and of itself just to get Pokemon to do certain poses and things.
Right. Did you have like a favorite pose that you had to try to get? You can make Pikachu do a number of things. I remember that was always like a fun thing in the game. I was trying to get Pikachu to do this or that.
Yeah. I think my favorite one's probably the Moltres.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up out of the... Or, well, actually...
Fire.
The Charmander was pretty cool. Or the Charmeleon. You knock into the...
Yep.
The crater.
That was mind-blowing.
I love it. Yeah, it's really cool. And then, of course, the hardest one to get is that Gyarados.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You have to guide... So he's talking about... So, how many levels are in this game? I can't think off the top of my head. It's 5:48 in the morning. Yeah, there's beach, tunnel, volcano, river, cave, valley, and the special course was the Rainbow Cloud.
That's what it's called, okay.
Yeah, and you're right. They had 63 of the original 151 Pokemon within the game. And that is a lot. You're right. They crammed a lot in there, and obviously not every Pokemon was in there, but that was the mystery of the game, right? You're not only taking pictures, you got to take good pictures first off. And if you got multiple Pokemon in it, it gets worth more points, how close you are. But you had to figure, it was made, the levels were short. So it was made to specifically play over and over again. Cause you wanted to, experiment with these Pokemon. Whoa, I threw my apple and this Pokemon is moving over here. And you keep throwing it. I wonder what happens if I guide it over here, or if you just take a picture of it eating the apple. Sometimes they get really happy or whatever, and that's an upgraded photo if you snap that image. Or if you hit them with a Pester Ball, you kind of like knock them back, or you make them mad and they try to attack you. And all that imagery is all worth different points. And it's something different in that they're doing that makes it unique and fun. Like, whoa, you know, I didn't know that would happen. But then it's a chain reaction. I keep thinking about the river episode. So the first one is kind of like a swamp, and if you do it right and you keep throwing your apples, like you have like a chain reaction. With like the slow pokes, for example, the slow pokes can evolve and they're being followed by Shelders. But if you like don't evolve the slow pokes, you eventually get a Cloyster created at the end, which you wouldn't get if you do evolve the slow pokes into slow bros. It's little things like that, you know, and like you mentioned, the Charmeleon being knocked back into this, if you hit him just right, he'll fall into this lava pit and he'll transform into a Charizard and just blast your face. Thank goodness we're protected by some like holographic shield or whatever. But I remember that being like a crazy thought as a kid. Like I was like, whoa, because Charizard is my favorite Pokemon, still is. But as a kid, you know, he was, and this Charizard is huge, big and bad, and he's mad at you. You can make Pokemon fight each other. You could also like try to get them to come out of their hiding spot, you know, and you figure it out just by screwing around. Honestly, you just got to screw around. Did you have a favorite level in the game, Ryan? Was there one that like you typically enjoyed more than others?
You know, it's hard for me to pick a favorite. I really like certain elements of different ones. You know, I mentioned the cave before with the
cave is unique,
blowing up the wall.
That's the tunnel. That's the tunnel. But you're right. The end of the tunnel is like kind of like this. You open up this cave by blowing up the electrode.
I think I like that one the most. At least that's the one that sticks in my mind the most, anyway.
I mean, the volcano for me is pretty fun. And then I say the back three: river, cave, or the volcano, the valley, and the cave. I think are my top three. I feel like they're a bit bigger, more expansive. And there's a lot more chain reaction things you can do there, I think. At least I felt like that. I could be wrong. That I don't. The tunnel one is, the music's a bit eerie. It's kind of, it's not the most fun to replay and visit. It's just kind of got this unsettling sound. And if I remember, I think it is pretty tough. You to get Pikachu to do some things, to get him, you got to guide him to like electrocute an egg, and you get Zapdos, spoilers. But it's just kind of hard to get him to do that. At least I found it was hard. But in that game, Pikachu, one of his special things is he can, if you time it right, he will, if you set it up right, he'll like ride an electrode that's rolling around, and that's a fun special thing that you can get him to do. There's one in the beach where you can get him to ride a surfboard and like start electrocuting it, and he's like having a blast, like he's on the waves. That cave, if you save him from a Zubat that's freaking out flying in the cave, he falls high from the sky, and then he pops out some helium balloons that he tied to himself, and he's like floating on helium balloons. That might be. Oh, there's one in the valley. I believe you can, at the very, very end, he's like hiding in these logs, these hollow logs, and he is able, I think if you like take his picture, you hit him or something, he does speed attack. Speed, and you can catch that on photo, and he moves really quick. So Pikachu is always a fun reoccurrence. He's like in almost every level, and you get to make him do something unique and silly within each of those levels, which I thought was fun. Again, it was Nintendo taking full advantage of that Pikachu is the face of Pokemon. Everyone loves Pikachu. They want to take cute pictures of Pikachu. Why not make him do unique and different things than just be in his environment and in one level? You know, like they did for most Pokemon. Now, the game was not just about taking pictures of Pokemon, right? Eventually, at the end, we learn about, like, special elemental, like, imagery within all of the levels. And they're supposed to be, like, signs, unique signs. And some Professor Oak, which, may I add, Professor Oak, we have to talk about him. Professor Oak... I and when we talk about New Snap, I'll just say Professor Oak, I feel like, is just his personality and his charisma in this game was, I think, one of the things that made the game so fun, constantly fun. That's, in my opinion, drastically missing in New Snap, which we'll talk about in a second, but he has us go on this mission to find these unique signs. And once you do, he's also the one who gives us all of our items. But once you do this, eventually we are... Eventually we unlock that final secret level, right? And that final... And this is kind of like boss mode of the game, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and it was such a wonder to know that that existed. Like, it was very, very rewarding because it was so pretty and,
yes,
like, mysterious. And, like, it was also frustrating if you didn't know what you were doing.
Yes, it was frustrating. I mean, just recently replaying it, I had to refigure out what the heck am I doing. It's not too complicated once you figure it out, but It was a wonder. It was so spoilers. Basically, after you figure out how where all these miraculous signs are hidden, and they're hidden within the structures of the previous levels, and they like form a different Pokemon. You unlock the secret passageway to the Rainbow Cloud, which Professor Oak wants you to go up there because he thinks there's a mysterious Pokemon in it, and it's Mew. And once you figure out how to do it, you can get some great photos of Mew captured on your camera. Not a Pokeball, a camera. And it is really kind of rewarding because back today, it kind of feels like that's it. That was kind of my opinion when I replayed it. You know, it's kind of like, oh man, that was it. Back then, it wasn't that way. Back then, Mew was legendary. Mew was obviously it's legendary Pokemon, but like Mew, you got to realize Mew was really special because Mew was the face of, just like Pikachu's the face of the franchise, Mew was the face, in my opinion, Mew and Mewtwo both were the faces of the legendaries for the Kanto region, that generation. They wrapped a whole movie based around those two, and Mewtwo was out in front, but Mew was always this like hidden, special, no one believed it existed Pokemon. So to make this about Mew and that you see it and you get to capture it with your camera, special, and it was cool and it was rewarding. Like, whoa, that's Mew. That's Mew, man. Take that picture. And if you try to take that picture of it initially without doing anything, like it like just like puts this holographic light up that you can't see it. You have to learn how to hit it just right with your Pester Ball multiple times. And then it comes out and it has its guard down. You can take pictures of it. And then that's how it ends. It kind of ends on this spectacle. You get it, and the credits roll, basically, and that's the game. And it's a fun ride. It's a short, fun ride. That's why I was able to revisit it so quickly recently, and I just kind of casually played it at night, and then I beat it. But then it gave me the itch for a new Pokemon Snap. So the music and, the charisma of Professor Oak, I think in the first Pokemon Snap, very fun and beautiful.
Wonderful, if you will.
Wonderful. Absolutely. They are, I feel like, a part of the DNA, and I think it made the game, you would think, I mean, honestly, it kind of is a hard sell. Oh, I'm taking pictures. That's it. I'm just taking pictures. And I feel like they put a lot more character into this game than the one we're going to hop over to. So new Pokemon Snap obviously came out. What was that? Pokemon Snap. New Pokemon Snap was released on April 30th, 2021. And all it was a worldwide release, going back to what I originally said. In 2021. And the game was, first off, just a dream come true. I mean, there had been rumors about Pokemon Snap 2. Since the Wii U days and before that, I remember the Pokemon Company putting out a survey of what type of games would we like, and that was on there. And lo and behold, most people wanted it, and it sold really well, I believe. Let me see if I can find the reception for it. Reception got 34 out of 40. Rated out of 10 by IGN, 79% Metacritic, so about the same. And as of March of 2022, it looks like my data says it sold 2.40 million copies outside of Japan, which is much better than the original. So like it looks like it was a success, which gives me hope that we'll have a third game in the series eventually, which would be silly not to. I mean, there's so many Pokemon. I mean, so many. And this one does, yes, utilize like tons of Pokemon. There's a lot in this game. So a lot, they added a lot more, and there's a lot of things that I think new Pokemon Snap does well, and much improved from the first one. And then there's some things where I think it is lacking, in those. And, Ryan, so obviously you've played Pokemon Snap, new Pokemon Snap. I want to call it Pokemon Snap too. We can first off critique it. I don't like that it is called New Pokemon Snap. I wish it was Pokemon Snap 2. New Pokemon Snap gives me new Super Mario Bros. Vibes. I feel like it's a lazy take on labeling something. So I wasn't a fan of how they named it. What about you?
It didn't bother me too much. But I will say it gave me that feeling like the new 3DS, you know, that branding where like there was some like, why would you call it that? Or like, you know, it's kind of like surrounding that like Wii U vibe and right. Like the naming. And even now, like going to look anything up on the original game is going to pop up a bunch of stuff about new Pokemon Snap. Like just new doesn't,
I don't understand why Nintendo, why did Nintendo go through this phase of putting new in front of everything? Like, duh, we know it's new. Like, because it's the newest thing you've put out. You don't need to call it new. I think it's because, you know, now when they put the third one out eventually one day, that's the new one.
New.
Yeah, new, renewed. that's not that big of a, it doesn't change how good the game is, but it I thought it was kind of stupid to call it that. But you know, right off the bat, this game, you know what, I said something I didn't like. Let's talk about what it does do right. Well, this game truly is bigger and better than the first one. I mean, overall, like the game is fascinating. It has like, there's boss level elements within every game. There's different, you level up throughout the game per level. And the more advanced you get by getting better photos, like the game continually encourages you to, why should I take better photos? Versus the first one's really like, just get a good photo to get a good ranking and you can save in your album. This one gives me incentive. Like there's kind of like skin in the game, a reward to earn to get better. And obviously you have to power up. You have to level up enough and earn enough points to progress through the game, which you did in the first one, I guess. You had to earn enough like points from Professor Oak. There's just a lot more to it. I'm not just earning something to unlock the next level. I'm trying to get like, 3 gold star or 4. I think you get up to 4 gold stars on the type of photo you can get. Like there's different rankings for every Pokemon in the game. You know, it's not just one really cool one you can get with this Pokemon by getting a chain reaction. Like there are you can get up to 4 stars and you can get them all bronze, silver, or gold versions of those stars. So I mean, to 100% this game is actually quite annoyingly long to do because of you're trying to do that to every single Pokemon. You're not trying just to get a 3-star or 2-star. You're like, you want to get gold on all of the star formations you can get. So there's a lot to do. Let's see. You have night and day systems. You have what I thought was cool, night and day, and you're traveling to multiple islands where if you remember in the first one we just started, we're only on one island. This game, we go from Florio Island, you're at like a park, there's a side path, and then you have the research camp itself. And then you have the Florio Island Illumina spot. So you got basically, I think with each little island, there's about like, yeah, there's like 3 areas you can explore, which is really a lot more. 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So there's 15 different levels, and they have a night. Most of them have a daytime and nighttime effect if it's outside. And then you have like a little boss area too. Every time you reach a new zone, you get to the boss. I say boss, but it's like a bigger, it's not necessarily a legendary Pokemon, but for some reason each area has been affected by the Illumina plants or whatever that's in that region, and they're extra big and they're glowing. It's like a really strong Pokemon in that zone, and you want to capture it. This game, man, like I said, it's fun. It really capitalizes on the upgrades that you got from the first game. It makes it unique, and like they put a bigger budget. I mean, the first thing that stands out is how much more polished, obviously, the graphics are for modern day. But there's cutscenes. I mean, there's cutscenes and there's voice acting in the game. I mean, this game is more advanced in character development than your any regular mainstream Pokemon adventure. I mean, these people actually move their faces and they actually have voice acting and they talk and they're excited about taking pictures. That's the kind of effort that we honestly want to see in a mainline Pokemon game, instead of them being this blank face that walks. You know, it's actually quite sad how this side game has way more character development than the first game. But yeah, I mean, I'm Ryan. I'm talking a ton, man. Why don't you dive in here? Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this game. How you feel like they took the game? Is there things you didn't like? Things that you did like? What do you think about the response to Pokemon Snap and what they did to give us a sequel?
This was one of those games that I came into after hearing negative reception on the game, and so like my hype was curtailed quite a bit from that. And also at the time there was some other game that I was like playing a lot. And so like that was keeping me distracted from actually dedicating my time to playing new Pokemon Snap. So my experience at the gate wasn't the greatest, but like what happened was like, you know, when I'm playing and you see Todd Snap and I'm just like, okay, so that hits me in the nostalgia. Cause you know, he was in the anime too. And like he was the original character in the first one. And so like that kind of sparked my interest when I started playing it, even though I went into it with some negative reception with it being, you know, I heard what a lot of people were complaining about. And that kind of stuck with me. Like, I think those are things that I would have liked, but because they came with a negative connotation, like it kind of sullied it a bit for me initially. So I was kind of being captured, being brought out of that mindset by playing through it and letting the game work its magic on me. And that was kind of a cool thing to have happen, was to actually like, you know, experience it, go through and play it. I also like kind of went at it with a like completionist mentality. Like I'm going to play through all the first levels over and over and over again, you know, go through the different levels or the different stages of that area. And it's really meant to be played, you know, you progress through other levels and you go back. And I was trying to do it all in one go. And so like, that's when I initially put it down before I circled back, you know, but, there's just so much to do. And I was trying to do it without looking up any like walkthrough or guide or anything. And I'm like, but I feel like I kind of have to learn all of these little secrets and things. Mm. I kind of wanted to experience things organically. But you know, it's just like, do I look up a guide or do I not? Like how am I going to get the best enjoyment out of this game? I almost had like a choice paralysis with all this stuff that I could do and choices I could go. Like, do I want to go through this stage again on the first experience, or do I want to go through something that's in a later time, like, you know, at night or like, what do I do? And like, I felt like at the time, when I first was playing it, like I didn't want to really circle back and do those things because I had other games going on at the time. And I do kind of regret that, but also like it sparked enough of my like nostalgia and excitement for Pokemon Snap that like, you know, I kept with it. So
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. I mean, the game, that does require a lot of patience. Like, you're going to, I kind of feel like maybe this game was a little too big. Like, it wasn't about just adding different regions and levels, which was really cool. But, like, there is a nighttime system and a daytime system for most of the levels. And different things happen at night than they did at day. And you're not just playing on one level. Like, you level up, and then level two for, say, just the first level, different things happen when you go in at a different level. Then you can start choosing your, like, I want to go level one, level two, level three, and see the reactions on these. It's like you're choosing to go on day one, day two, or day three for this specific region. And the Pokemon are going to be doing something different. And then you can do the same thing at night. So in reality, I mean, you're getting, like, essentially six different levels because they're doing different things. And I kind of personally think that was too much.
I think it was a bit too grand, a bit too ambitious when it kind of missed the point there.
It made it overwhelming. And
I did get that feeling. It was overwhelming.
I remember being overwhelmed. That's why I stopped. I never officially beat it. I still haven't officially beat it. I'm slowly kind of playing through it again, but I did stop. And for how long the game is, it, you know, combine my critiques of it. One thing that it definitely fails is, and the music sucks. The music is so boring. Like, it is. Have you seen all the Alien franchise movies, Alien and Aliens, and the Prometheus and all of them? Have you seen those, Ryan?
So I've seen the first one, and I've seen. I believe I've seen the Prometheus one, which was kind of the precursor when they get to that planet.
The first time.
But that's all I've seen. I haven't seen the, you know, Aliens, which is like supposed to be like the best. I haven't seen those yet.
Okay. Well, I've been going on the, I got so much time on my hands. I went on this kick because I realized I never really watched them all. And being a big Metroid fan, I wanted to. So I've gone back and I've watched all of them to understand the story. And one of the biggest complaints that people had from, when they started making Prometheus, these prequels, people talked about how polished it was and how clean it was. Like, the ships were just squeaky clean, high tech, advanced, and the whole movie felt that way. Whereas the older movies like Alien and Aliens, the ships obviously are big, massive spaceships, but they're like, it's like with anything, it's like, they're kind of beat up. They're not the latest tech. They're not as fancy. They're kind of rough around the edges. Like, it's older tech that they use. And people complain that these prequels they made, because there's two of them, that they felt out of place from the rest of the feelings that you got from watching the other movies. You know what I'm saying? It's like everything felt so clean and it felt so high tech, whereas the other ones were obviously, it was set in a future setting, it's high tech than what we have, but it was just like rugged. It was missing something, and that ruggedness was a part of the feeling of being in that franchise and with those crew members versus being we're squeaky clean and we have no issues or whatever. And in Pokemon Snap, I kind of feel like did the same thing. That's why I bring that up. New Pokemon Snap feels very squeaky clean, feels very polished. And the music they put, it's just really pretty music in the background. And I felt like it was trying to be this really professional, neat looking package. Whereas the first one isn't like that. Like, the first one is like, it's got Professor Oak and he's like, I'm ready to go take some pictures. How about you? This is exciting. Wonderful. Can't believe you caught that on camera. And this guy's, the professor is not Professor Oak in this one. He's just like, wow, great job. Oh, that's very good. You know, like, he's like monotone. He's so much more boring than Professor Oak was. Professor Oak, he just seemed like he was like too excited to go take pictures, you know, and what you're discovering. Whereas this guy is just like, man, this is great for my research. Thank you. It was just, it gives you a different feeling. And I feel like that charisma and the music that's more fun and upbeat and different, and the first Pokemon Snap, I feel like that made the journey more bearable, more fun. Like, I wasn't getting bored with the game back then. And I feel like those elements make a big difference from Pokemon Snap to new Pokemon Snap. I feel like Pokemon Snap is huge. And don't get me wrong, like, they do it well. Like, everything, I don't think there's a level and a area that is boring or bad. I don't think that. I just feel like it is so massively overwhelming, and it's asking a lot because you can't just rush through these levels very much. You have to, like we said, you have to ride the course, and you have to go slow, and you have to know how everything's going to chain react. Whereas with so many different levels per area, I felt like I didn't know if I was doing everything right. Right? Like, you know that in the beach level with Pokemon Snap, the first one, I can do all of these. You eventually you figure out everything you can do, everything the way you can make all these Pokemon react. And here I felt like, am I missing something? Because there's so much to do. Am I not doing this right? Did I not make this Pokemon respond in the right way? Am I doing something wrong? And I never get that chance really to see that, because you keep leveling up, like, oh, go to level 2, go to level 3, day 2 of this adventure, and let's see other things there, which makes them do other things. So I kind of personally feel like this game, I loved the boss thing. I thought that was a great improvement. I loved that. And I loved having multiple areas to go to. Again, that was fun. I'm all for that. And honestly, I loved having a nighttime and a daytime sequence. But I would take away the different levelings per area and, like, keep it more simple. I scale it back just a little bit. Keep it more simple. And don't overwhelm the player. That's what I would say. That's where this game falters for me.
Perhaps it's a gross comparison, but would you say it's kind of like Breath of the Wild or maybe Tears of the Kingdom, where, like, there's just so much to do, and, like, it in the music was kind of, like, atmospheric, and it just didn't quite feel like it felt like an evolution, but not necessarily capturing the original magic?
That's a great example. Tears of the Kingdom, that's exactly how I felt about Tears of the Kingdom. It was more of the same, which let's be fair,
the formula is great, you know. The
formula of this and Snap, I mean, these games were, like, what, 20 some years apart, you know? So, like, I don't want to say 20, 30 some years apart. I don't want to say that, like, it was, like, directly, like, you know, I felt like Tears of the Kingdom was, like, just more DLC to Breath of the Wild. But with a different story. But this game takes everything that the first game did and improves upon it. I just think they cut out too much of the cake. You know, they, like, instead of getting a slice, they took, like, half or 3/4 of the cake. It's like, you know, no, we don't need that much. Give us, like, 2 slices of cake this time and, like, build upon that. But yeah, I what you're saying overall, I agree with. Like, Tears of the Kingdom felt like there was just so freaking much to do. I was overwhelmed with being in the sky, being on the land, and then being underground. I did not like that. It made me bored. It made me feel like I was doing things wrong and I'm wasting my time. Well, kind of like what I just said for levels. And I don't like feeling like I'm wasting my time in a game and when I want to see things progress. So, yeah, I agree with your statement there. I mean, I know I'm so, like, I feel like with new Pokemon Snap 2, overall, I think this is a good game, and I would not tell anybody not to get it. I think you should get the game. I just personally think that it's lacking character and excitement. It's lacking charisma. Maybe character is not the right word. The game, I mean, there's cutscenes. There's multiple characters. It's not just you and the professor. And heck, you want to talk about some nostalgia? One thing that this game does that I was very happy to see that they did was they brought back the main guy from the first game. You're not directly playing as him, but he is an integral part of the story for this game. And he's grown up, which makes sense. He's not a kid anymore. He's an adult now. He's like a professional photographer. He's made a name for himself probably after that first game of all the good work we did. And he's in the game. And that was cool, man. Like, that's nostalgia right there. That's using nostalgia the right way. Because what is it? His name's Todd, right? Yeah.
Yep. Todd's net.
Yeah. And he's in the anime too of Pokemon. But I think that's where he originally came from, actually, was the anime. But Todd shows up and he's cool. It made me really smile to see him. Like, that's cool. That's connectivity. That's not pretending like the first game didn't happen. Like, this is showing that those events still happened. And I love stuff like that. So they did that well. I never officially beat this game, and I want to beat it because as we've done research for it, I'm clearly saying there's some legendary things I've not done. And again, maybe that is due to the fact of it's asking you to do so much, and you feel like you don't know if you're doing everything right at each level. And it's a long journey for how, I mean, you're slowly moving through it. You're not driving a car through these levels. You're just like, it's like you're on, you can, you, it's like you just let the car just kind of glide. You don't even push the gas pedal, and you're just moving at that pace through the levels. You know, so like 5 miles per hour here. Yeah, I mean, that's really pretty much all I've got to say about it. I mean, I enjoyed it, and I hope that they make more and can improve upon this, because I do like this. And I think there's so many Pokemon. I mean, yeah, they added a ton to this, but there's even more, you know, like, we can do so much with so many different Pokemon. And I would love to see them do more of this. Well, final thoughts on the sequel to Pokemon Snap.
I think my biggest thing is, like, if I had the time and no distractions and I was a kid again,
Yeah,
I would absolutely love this game and adore it. And if I had the time to put into it to just find all the secrets and just experiment and max it out and give it all the time that it needs, it would be like one of my favorites. But, you know, that was not something that was, you know, I had games that were distracting me at the time when it came out, and sure, I was like, oh, I'll come back to this and give it dedicated time later. And even then, that dedicated time later was not adequate. So I think that, you know, my desire to 100% and stuff is also getting in the way, which I didn't care about that stuff as a kid. I just wanted to play it and experience right. new Pokemon Same. And stuff. And so, like, getting in that mindset of being a gamer and trying to completionist it, and like, I just really don't think that I was going about it in the right ways. And so I need to just kind of remove my current self from the picture and just like reconnect myself as a kid to really enjoy it and experience it on a level that was intended.
You know, you make a good point. Back in 1999, I'm 8 years old, will be 9 in the fall. A few months later, you're on summer break. It's easy to sit down at home and replay a game with your buddies or by yourself. Today, and I mean, one could argue that this game is a perfect game for like to play a few minutes here and there. You know, you run through the level, take some photos, move on. But what I think I could argue is, like, does this type of game really have a strong market anymore today? Even though the numbers were great, I feel like most of the numbers are there based off of nostalgia because they hadn't made a game in like this in like 20, 30 years. I would be curious to see if a proper sequel to this one now, if it came out sooner than later, if it would do well. And that's only because what you just said, I have other games to play. In 1999, we're not getting like 10 releases every week from hundreds of developers. I mean, we have indie games, we got third parties, we got Nintendo themselves constantly releasing. Almost every day, it seems like there's a new game that comes to the eShop. And you have to pick and choose now. And if I'm more excited about playing, I don't know, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door that's about to come out next month, I'm going to stop playing Pokemon Snap 2 because it's kind of boring in comparison. Or whatever game's coming out. We just had an indie direct, and we just got a whole new list of new games. Go download, go download, go download. You know, so it's like, and they're more excited. Those are more exciting. When you play Pokemon Snap, you're signing up to do a different experience and a different experience. And it's an experience that moves slower and it takes patience. And, you know, I'm sure there are some people that maybe that is their game. Like, they would not want to play some platformer. They do not want to go play some punk rock skateboarding trick game. Like, you know, this could be, there are some people out there that like, this is all they like. That's their pace. But for the masses, I don't necessarily know if Pokemon Snap, unless they make some tweaks and adjustment, if that's like what people would rather play versus the next indie beloved game that got released on the Switch that week. So that's something to consider about too. And I never really thought about that, you know, for today's day and age, for how many games get released, there's a lot more competition against it. Whereas when you're on summer break and it's July and that's the only game available, like, you make the best of what you got, you know what I'm saying? And you find the fun in it. So interesting. I don't know for sure I would totally get it and I would play it, but I don't know if to the masses, if financially would it be worth it for Nintendo and the Pokemon company to make a third game, which makes me kind of sad to say. I guess that's what you have to do when you put your business hat on, right? So they are businesses at the end of the day. Well, Ryan, any final thoughts? And then we can just tell everybody where we're at.
Glad it exists. Honestly, I'm happy that both games exist. And what seems like a boring idea at first, like, you know, taking pictures of you know, fake
creatures,
fake characters. When you could be battling them in a regular Pokemon game, and right, like how it just like completely the new take, but like it works, it really does. And it's like, I'm sure this inspired a lot of people to take up photography, you know, as a hobby or as their career. And like, so it was well done, and it is inspiring at the very least. And I've heard positive reception from people younger than me, who say it's like one of their favorite games and they had to do everything in it. And I'm like, man, I wish I had the time to do that. You know, I just, and again, like I had the time as a kid to do Pokemon Snap and, you know, and it was just right for me as a kid. And if I could dedicate that time again, like I would put that towards new Pokemon Snap to really get the full experience. And, you know, who knows, maybe I may one day eventually 100% it, but I want to be cautious because also, like, you know, it is hard to keep capture your attention, especially if there's a choice paralysis involved. But, I want to do my due diligence with the game and make sure that I've gotten everything out of it that I want to enjoy of it when I haven't been able to give that much time to really experience it proper.
It's funny. I mean, like I just said, like it. I keep saying this is a good game, but I say it bores me. It is a good game. It's just the way it's the tones. They didn't mix the music in the. I'm telling you, if the music was up a little bit more upbeat and the characters had more life to them, which is funny to say because it's way better than the original Pokemon. Your normal Pokemon games. It would just, I'm just telling you, you would want to stick around more, you know, like there's something about excitement and what, like I find myself starting to get tired when I play the game for a long period. It's not made, it is not developed to play like 1-2 hours at a time. This is not like maybe half hour, 45 minutes. You know, like if all the games in the world went away and this is the only game we could have, or if this was the only release game we got this year, you could argue like, wow, there is so much here. There is, this is fun to do. And this, it could be satisfying if it's the only game around. But when there's other games around, it's hard to want to pick it up and play that over something else. So I don't know if we're endorsing this game well, Ryan. I promise you, people will enjoy it, especially if they love Pokemon. But I think it's designed to play in smaller bursts, which is perfect for the Switch if you're playing on the go a lot too. Pick it up, play it in your lunch break, play a few rounds, and then be on with it, you know. So, well, Ryan, where can everyone find us?
Yeah, you can always listen to us on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube Music, on Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora Podcast. And then you can also connect with us on socials, on Facebook at Nintendo NOS, on TikTok, Nintendo _ NOS. X Twitter at Nintendo _ NOS, Instagram at Nintendo NOSIN. You can always shoot us an email at Gmail, Nintendo Nostalgia IN at gmail.com. You can also give us a call on our hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you for getting up at 5:20 in the morning so we could do this podcast, because I'm sure our listeners are just chomping at the bit to hear us talk about Pokemon Snap and New Snap. So thank you guys so much. We love you all, seriously, and we'll be back more. And hopefully it won't be so tiring to record next time. We'll be back on track with getting recorded at a regular timing of the week. So, Ryan, take it easy, my friend. Thank you for getting up. Rest a little bit. And talk to you later, man. You have a good one.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Later, Preston.